All right. So, hey, I don't know about you guys, but sometimes I need a little help. In fact, actually, I need it a lot of the time. It's probably embarrassing how often I need it. There's times where I just don't know how to do something, and I'm just a little unsure. A few months ago, I was trying to replace a ceiling fan with a regular light up in our house. And if you've ever done that, it's super annoying. It's not super easy. Even with two people, it can be difficult. But I spent a good long time Googling which color wire does what so I don't like blow a fuse or something. And I was super paranoid about it. I even got on YouTube and I looked at a bunch of tutorials on it. I get a little impatient on YouTube because there's a whole intro and there's a bunch of ads, so I'm skipping around. And I'm like, and I watch everything on times two, so I skip a bunch of like important details, and it's just a mess. It's crazy. But before the internet, many people, they turn to something else. They turn to books. Believe it or not, books still exist. They're still out there. In these books, there were this series of books that was really popular several years ago. They're big books, and they're big and yellow, and there's a cartoon guy pointing like this, and it's the Four Dummy books. And basically what these books do, they are self-help books. So you get it, and it helps you figure out something, how to do something, because, you know, it's for dummy. You're the dummy. You don't know how to do the thing, so it's going to help you figure it out. And I was actually looking into it, and there's a lot of them, like a lot of them. And some, they kind of range from, okay, I get it, to this is just really dumb. Like, who needs this? Some of my favorites are Dating for Dummies. I get that one. That one makes sense to me. Some of you really need it in this room right now, probably. There's TikTok for Dummies. Some of the parents could really use it. I get that one. That one makes sense. There's Success as an Introvert for Dummies. It's like, what? Like, introverts are too dumb to be successful on their own? Is that what that's implying? I'm not sure what that's trying to say about introverts. Ferrets for Dummies. I guess to learn to take care of your ferret, if you've got a pet ferret, really niche. Living Vegetarian for Dummies. You don't eat meat, right? It's as simple as that. I don't know, I'm not a vegetarian. This one is crazy. Critical Thinking Skills for Dummies. Come on, if you gotta ask, really? Getting Pregnant for Dummies. Well, you see, when the mommy and daddy love each other very much, I'm not gonna get into it. And my absolute favorite one, Ghost Hunting for Dummies. That one, I kind of imagine you open up the book and on the first page it just says, you're the dummy for reading this, because that's crazy. There's even the Bible for Dummies, which is just kind of an interesting tidbit I threw in there. But clearly, we all need some help in some sort of way. All of us need help, and nobody has it figured out, and if you think you do, then you most of all don't have it figured out. And as Christians, we really like to think that we've got more figured out than everyone else in the world. And if you're sitting here today or you're watching online and you're not a Christian, let me tell you, most of us really don't. God does. He's got it figured out, but a lot of us kind of don't. We're pretty confused. But if we really had it all together already, then why are there so many Christians that live as if they don't? Many struggle to make wise decisions, to live like Christ wants them to. They struggle with their finances and their relationships are a mess. And sometimes we're not even really sure right from wrong. I mean, have you turned on the news before? Like, I turn it on and I'm like, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to fix everything that's going on in the world right now. It is so, it's just crazy. We don't have it all figured out. But God tells us in the ultimate book for dummies that how to live a better life and how we need to make better decisions. Yet, so many of us seem to ignore it. Whether it's because we don't understand its significance to our daily lives or we just don't make time, something has got to change. Because if we don't, we're bound to miss out on what God is saying to us and live out some half-baked Christianity. And trust me, you don't want that because there is nothing significant about that from what the world has. So what are we doing wrong? Is it possible that the Bible can really benefit us in such a significant way? And what's keeping us from pressing into the Word the way that we should be? First, we need to understand what God has to say about Scripture. And there's this awesome story in the Bible. It's about a guy named Joshua. So Moses, he's taking the Israelites to the Promised Land, and then a few things kind of get a little messed up. And now Joshua, he's taking up the leadership position, and he's going to be the guy who leads them into the Promised Land. And there is something really important that we can learn from this particular passage in Joshua 1:8. And everyone has heard part of this passage. It's be bold and courageous. God tells Joshua, you got to be bold and courageous. But there's a part that a lot of people like to skim over, and it's this verse, Joshua 1:8. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. So, success for Joshua looks like the Promised Land. That's where they're trying to get. But how do they get it? Well, they have to be bold and courageous, but they also need to keep the book of the law. They also need to be in the Word, in the Scripture. And the reason why it says book of the law and not the Bible is because back then they didn't have the whole Bible like we have today. So they just had what was known as the law. But the idea is that he needed to be in Scripture, and he needed to be pursuing that and following it. And so do we if we want to be prosperous and successful like Joshua was. It almost seems anticlimactic, that answer, because, you know, Joshua, he's got this huge task ahead of him. He's got this crazy thing he needs to do, and God tells him, all right, well, you got to be really brave, and you got to read the Scripture. Like, really? That's it? Like, we've got a huge journey ahead of us. We're probably going to have to do battle at some point. Like, this is crazy. Like, should we be training? And you tell us to read the Bible? It's insane. Here, let me kind of illustrate this for you. So most of you have probably at some point in your life put together a Lego set, or maybe you have kids who have put together a Lego set, and I actually brought one today. And you know if you've ever put together a Lego set, and it's a Star Wars ship. I like this one because it's got a big red stripe and everyone can see, and it's huge. But if you've ever put together a Lego set before, you know it comes with instructions. And those instructions help you to put it together and make this really cool thing, right? Without it, you know what this looks like? It looks like that. It's just a pile of bricks. And you need the instruction books. Otherwise, you're not getting it from that to what it just was. And so is your life that way. If you don't have the instruction book, if you're not reading the instruction book, that's what your life is going to look like. You're not going to be prosperous and successful. You're not going to look like an awesome Star Wars ship like that. But that's what it's like when we don't read the Word, when we're not in it. In fact, if you don't believe me, Jesus even tells us this in Luke 11, 28. He tells us that more than that, blessed, are those who hear the word of God and keep it. Amen. You're blessed if you hear the word of God and you keep it. And the reason it says hear is because back then, most of the people were illiterate. They couldn't read. So all they could do was hear, and they would memorize what they heard. And that's how they kept the word. In fact, it was so crazy back then that that part of Jewish boys' education, it was to memorize the Torah, which was the first five books of the Bible, and they had to memorize it. Jesus probably had to do this himself, which is insane. But nowadays, we have it in print. We have it on our phone. Aren't you glad we don't have to memorize every single word of this whole thing? It is so accessible to us, but yet we still don't seem to be in the Word as much as we should be. So, we miss out on so much that we don't, when we don't take reading Scripture seriously. We miss out on so much. It's so vital. I think that a lot of us, we just take it for granted and we forget its significance. And here's why it's significant. It is God-breathed. That's right. The Scripture is God-breathed. 2 Timothy tells us that that all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. And I want to focus on the fact that it's God-breathed. These are God's own words. They don't call it the Word of God for nothing. It is literally the Word of God. It is His words. Yes, there are multiple people who wrote it, but there's only one author, and it's the Holy Spirit who inspired it to be written. These are God's words to us, and he's speaking to us through it. And we miss out on so much that the Lord wants to say and what he wants to do in our lives when we don't press into it. It's alive. The word of God is alive. Hebrews 4:12 tells us that for the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. That book is way more powerful than any blade. Nowadays, it might say that it's more powerful than any 50 caliber rifle. I don't know. I don't know if that's powerful. Some of you gun guys might know better than me. I'm not a hunter. But it is powerful. There is power in the Word of God to change people because it is the living Word of God. It's not a dead book. It's not a dead text. It's not Shakespeare. It's not the religious text of some other religion. And it's not stories of mythological gods and monsters like the Greeks had. It is powerful and it is alive and it speaks to us today. And it is eternal. Isaiah 40:8 tells us that the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. It's always relevant in every season and for every generation. The word of God is relevant. I had a professor back in college who liked to say it this way. He liked to tell us that it is a timely book written with timeless principles. And what that means is that, yes, it was written for a certain people at a certain time. The letters of Paul, it's addressed to the church in Rome. It's addressed to the church in Ephesus. It's not addressed to the church in Burleson. But despite that, it has timeless principles. It has things that God wants to teach us and ways that God wants to live, wants us to live in it that we can still take and we can still apply to our lives today. So knowing all this, why do so many believers still just not read the Bible the way that they should? They just beat around the bush about it. Why do so many live like that? Why are so many content with living a life not knowing God's word for themselves? Why is it that so many have no idea what it says and how it's essential to our lives? It may seem like a simple message tonight. It may seem elementary, but it is so important that we really grasp this and that we really understand this and apply it to our lives. And if it is elementary to you, it's good to be reminded because we need this. Because, and here's why, and I know I'm kind of preaching to the choir on this one because, you know, they're over there working with the kids and the youth, but I don't know how I feel about a kids worker who teaches a kids class who doesn't know the word of God. Amen. Is that who you want teaching your kids? No. Of course not. I don't know how I feel about a youth worker who doesn't know the wisdom found in the scripture when they go to give a teenager advice about something in their life. That's not right. And same for us. We need to know the word of God. It is so important. The other day, I was listening to a pastor online, and this pastor actually is going around and claiming that Jesus was a racist. That's crazy. Like, I don't need to explain how silly that is. I can cite so much scripture to you where that is contrary to that, that shows that Jesus was definitely not a racist. But this guy's going around saying this, and he still has a following, and he has a pretty large following at that. And that tells me two things. That people, they don't know what the scripture says, and that people don't care what the scripture says, because that's just insane that anyone would tell you that. We have a pen over here. Perfect. Thanks, Hunter. So if I told you this pen was a banana, you would call me an idiot. It's clearly not a banana, right? Like, you've spent time with a banana, right? Like, a banana's yellow. It tastes delicious. You've spent time with the pen. The pen, you know, we have these awesome Grace Church pens, and you twist them, and they click, and they're awesome, especially during service when you're taking notes. It's super entertaining. But you've spent time with this pen. You know what it's like. You've actually held it in your own hands, and you know that it's not a banana, and you know that the banana is not a pen. And if you spend time with the Word of God, you know what it says. You know right from wrong. And but you have to spend time with it. It needs to be in your hands, and you need to be actually reading it yourself. Because it makes me so sad when I hear people fall prey to false teaching. And there's a lot of that in this world. And because there's lots that sounds good, but it's just blatantly wrong. It's just totally wrong. It's not it at all. And it makes me sad because that's a believer who isn't in the Word, who has access to it, but doesn't want to read it and see what it says and for themselves. You'll get a preacher who says that we're just like God. In fact, we're little gods. You'll get a preacher who says something like that, and he'll tell you that we're the ones who are in control. And no, we're not. We're just completely not. If you read Scripture, you know that we're created in the image of God, that we have His Holy Spirit living in us, that we should strive to be like Christ, but we are not God. We are certainly not. God is the one who's in control, and everything we have and can do and that we are, it comes from Him. If you spent time in the Scripture, you would know, you would read in the first few chapters of Genesis that someone who says something like that sounds a whole lot like the serpent in the Garden of Eden. It's exactly what the serpent told Eve. The serpent told Eve that if you eat of the tree, you'll be like God. I don't know that it gets any clearer than that. If you hear someone who preaches just bad things, they're just twisting Scripture, you'll know it when you're in the Word. You'll know right from wrong. You'll be able to divide that and discern it for yourself. So if the Word is so important, then why aren't we actively in it? So I'm not going to over-spiritualize it for you guys tonight, but it's just one word: excuses. We're full of excuses. Reading the Bible is a spiritual discipline. Who thinks that discipline is actually fun? No one does. Come on. Like, it's not easy. If you've ever tried any sort of discipline, you tried a workout routine, you know the excuses come fast and easy. If you've ever tried a diet, you know it's not easy. If you've tried learning a new language, it's definitely not easy. You'll come up with like 20 excuses before you even start. And I know a couple languages myself, but it's not easy. It's easy to make a lot of excuses for starting a discipline. And they kind of sound like, I just don't have time right now. I just don't get it. I tried it once and it didn't feel like it was doing anything for me. And those sound a whole lot like the excuses we make when it comes to reading the Word. So what we're going to do the rest of the night is we're going to look at a few excuses that we very commonly make, and I'm guilty of these too at several points in my life. I'm probably guilty of it just this past week. Three excuses that we often make when it comes to reading the Bible. And the first one I want to look at is, I don't have time. I don't have time to read the Word. And you're right. You don't have time. You really don't have time to read it. I get it. You need to pick up the kids from school. You need to go to work. You got to make dinner. You got to take the kids to baseball practice. You got to walk the dog. And even though you know they're going to lose, you got to go watch the Cowboys game. I mean, am I right? Like, come on. But you don't have time. I get it. But here's what Jesus has to say about this. In Matthew 6:21, he says that for where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. Now, in this particular verse, he's talking about material possessions. But the fact of the matter is that what matters to you is what you're going to invest in. Whether it's time or it's money, you're going to invest into it. So what truly matters is where you're going to invest in the most. Okay, Matt, but my kids, they do matter to me, and I can't just cut them out so I can go read the Bible. No, that's not what I'm saying at all. I'm saying that you don't have time. You really don't. So you got to make time. You don't have time. You got to make time. That may mean you wake up an hour early. And I get it. I'm not a morning person either, so that's really painful to me. But it may mean you got to wake up an hour early before you do your regular stuff. It may mean that you got to skip watching the football game that day at your buddy's house because you got to spend time in the Word, and that's the only time you got. It may mean that you got to skip the new episode of whatever show on Netflix or Disney Plus. It may mean you got to skip out on listening to your favorite political pundit on the radio or your favorite podcast. It may mean that you need to stay in the night instead of going out and doing whatever you do on the weekend. You need to make time for the Word. Maybe it even means you got to get rid of the dog. Oh, I felt a wave of discomfort on that one. That one was uncomfortable. But I know I made all the cat people happy, so I guess it's okay. Do cats even like you? I don't know. But you get what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that it's gonna take sacrifice for you to make time for the Word. But it is so important. And here's why. Because what you invest time in is what really matters to you. And if it's not the Bible, then no matter how much you say it matters to you, I don't know that it really does. Because you don't make time for it. Invest in the Word. I remember when I was in later high school, I was really busy. I got my first job, and it was just busy all the time. And I really was out of time. I did not have enough time in my day. So what I would do is when I'd get off the bus, we were all expected to go hang out in the cafeteria. You know, we'd hang out, we'd goof around with our friends, you know, the whole thing that we do as teenagers. But what I started doing is I found this little secluded hallway in the school where no one ever used the bathroom. And I would actually go in there and open my Bible app, and I'd sit on the floor, and that's when I'd read my Bible for like an hour. And that's when I would do it, because that's when I made time. You know, I don't read the Bible in the bathroom anymore. I did not prepare this message in the bathroom, in case you were wondering. That would just be weird. But that's when I made time. That's when I had time as a teenager, is sitting on the bathroom floor an hour before classes started, instead of hanging out with my friends. You need to invest in the Word. You don't have time. You need to make it, and it's going to take sacrifice. All right, second excuse. I don't get it, so I'm not going to read it. So right now in the youth, Pastor Jonathan is teaching an awesome series on understanding the Bible to the teenagers, and it's awesome. And what I've learned, though, is that apparently even the teenagers don't get it. And teenagers totally understand everything that there is to know about everything, right? Totally a joke. But listen, I don't blame you for not understanding everything that you read, because you're not going to. I went to Bible college, and I read stuff all the time to this day that confuses me, where I'm like, I have no idea what this means right now. You know, you'll be reading, all of a sudden it's like, he had multiple wives and concubines? I thought that was wrong. Why would you even want that? Doesn't that mean he has multiple mother-in-laws? Like, that confuses me. I don't get that. That's crazy. God told them to kill everyone in the city? I thought murder was a sin. That's confusing to me. I don't really understand everything that I read to this day. Heck, even one of the guys who helped write the Bible thought that it was confusing. Peter, he had, so Paul wrote a good portion of the New Testament, and Peter actually comments on Paul's writings. In 2 Peter 3:16, he says about Paul, he writes the same way in all his letters, speaking in them of these matters. His letters contain some things that are hard to understand. He straight up says Paul's letters are sometimes hard to understand. He says, I don't really get it sometimes, and I get that you don't get it. If even Peter struggled, then you certainly shouldn't get discouraged. I mean, this guy Peter, he actually knew Jesus when he was on the earth. He talked to him. He was with him. He knew him. So why do we get so discouraged when we don't understand? If even a guy like this had trouble understanding sometimes. We need to make the effort to read even when it's confusing. Because here's the thing, if we don't make the effort to read the Word, and we really don't, and we don't make the effort to read it and apply it to our lives, then we might as well go back to the Dark Ages, where it's some guy standing up there in dark, depressing robes, reading in Latin to us, and we don't understand a word he's saying. Because what's the point then if we don't read it and apply it? We live in such a unique time where the global literacy rate is at its absolute peak. There's the most people now who can read than there ever has been in all of human history. And everyone has access to the scripture too, on their device, on their phone. But we still Don't do it. We take it for granted. People have died for the privilege to read the Bible, and we can't neglect that. I grew up in church, and I went to Bible college, like I mentioned, and like I told you, I still find scripture to be confusing a lot of the time. There's a lot that I read that I still don't understand. But I'll say this. I also find the word more fascinating today than I ever have in my entire life. And it's not because of my education or my background at all. Because I made a lot of excuses in college, not in Bible college, not to read the Bible. I made excuses like, you know what? I already read this whole passage of scripture and I picked it apart and I wrote a paper on it and I did homework over it. I don't need to read more. And by the way, doing it for a paper in a college class is much different than for personal devotion. It is not the same thing. Another excuse I loved to make back then was that, you know, I went to a service this past Sunday morning, and I mean, Pastor read like a whole book of the Bible. You know, I got all the scripture I needed for the week. But coming here and listening to someone read a few passages, again, is not the same as you actually sitting down with it yourself and reading it and doing it for yourself. But it is so important that we grasp this idea. But here's what I've discovered. This is why I find it more fascinating than I ever did before. It's because I discovered that the more you read, the more you just push through and read it, the more you read, the more you understand. And the more you understand, the more you discover. And the more you discover, the more you read. The more you want to read it on your own. It won't come easy. I've gone weeks and weeks and even months where I just didn't get something. But here's what you should do. Before you sit down to read the word, you sit down and you thank God for his word, and you ask the Holy Spirit, Lord, please help me to understand this. Please help me to discern what you're trying to tell me in this. And if you still don't understand, and if something confuses you, you make a note of it. You come back to it later. You find someone who does understand and ask them to explain it to you. You study for the answer. You store it in the back of the mind, in your mind, and eventually you may even hear someone explain it somewhere, either in a message or whatever, and it'll just give you a oh moment. It is so satisfying when that happens in your life. But we need to commit to the spiritual discipline of reading the word, even when we have trouble understanding it. So our last excuse we're going to look at real quick is that I don't get much out of it. I don't get much out of it. I read it, and I've read it before, and it didn't do much for me. I get more out of it when I just listen to the preacher. Besides, isn't that enough? Well, I already told you guys, no, it's not enough. But here's why we need the word. Proverbs 14:12 tells us that there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. Seems right. Unfortunately, humans are really, really bad decision makers. All the time, there are things that seem like a good idea that just don't pan out. That it's like, you know, I thought this was a great idea. I thought this was a great thing to invest in, and it just completely tanks. We do it all the time. Things just don't go well when we listen to ourselves. But here's what Psalm 119:105 tells us. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Yes. You don't know where you're going without it. Hey, on your own accord, it just doesn't work. We're just not very good at it on our own. But when we follow the word, it's like a lamp to our feet, a light to our path. A few weeks ago, I was going down the stairs somewhere, and I decided I knew the steps well enough on my own that I didn't need the lights, and it was like pitch black. And so I just left the lights off. I was carrying something, and I very quickly realized I did not know the steps very well on my own. I needed the light, and I was very sore in about 5 seconds, and I was also at the bottom of the flight of stairs in even fewer than that. But we need the word. It's a lamp to our feet. It's a light to our path. It tells us where to go and what to do. We don't know the right way without the word and the Holy Spirit. It is so important to our lives. Scripture is for our benefit, and God didn't just make this book that just inflates his ego. Yes, it does have several accounts of his glory and his goodness, and that is absolutely important, an important aspect of the book. But it also tells us how to live our lives, and we need to apply it. It helps us with our decisions, with our daily living. It is transformative. It helps us to get to know the Lord. It reveals God's character to us. We get to know him in new ways because we read scripture. We get to know him as our creator, our comforter, our provider, the great I am, and many, 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 many other ways. It is so important to our lives. And here's the big bonus about when you read the word. We spend time with God when we spend time in the word. In fact, John 1:1 tells us that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Amen. We actually spend time with the Lord when we spend time in his Word. It is the most impactful book you will ever read. It has altered the course of history. So there have been seasons in my life where I was really not investing in my time in the Word. And in those seasons, I was really leaning away from the Lord and his Word. And whenever something came and it pushed me, you know what happened? I fell flat on my back. But in seasons where I was leaning into the Lord and I was just really leaning into his Word, when something came and pushed me, I fell into him. I fell into the Lord. And I didn't backslide. I didn't get hurt. I didn't get angry. I was with the Lord. There was one difficult season in my life in particular where it felt like everything had kind of fallen apart. I made a decision that just completely, like, it felt like it imploded on me. And, you know, it was the way that seemed right to me, and it just wasn't. and I was just done. And in that time, I really wondered if the Lord had just given up on me, if I had blown it and that was it. And I didn't know what to do. But it wasn't a great miracle, and it wasn't this awesome emotional spiritual moment that got me through it. It was the Word of God ministering to me. It is so powerful the ways that it will minister to you. It is such a shame that so many believers miss out on that. In this season of my life, it was actually a particular passage in Scripture that really ministered and spoke to me, and I felt the Lord's presence just speaking to me and comforting me. It was Psalm 40, and David, the guy who killed Goliath, he actually wrote this in a particularly difficult season of his own life. And I'm just going to read it to you guys because it was so impactful to me. And if you don't see how the Lord can minister to you through the Word, then we need to talk some more about it because it is powerful. So Psalm 40, David says, "I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear the Lord and put their trust in him. Blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, who does not look to the proud, to those who turn aside to false gods. Many, Lord, my God, are the wonders you have done, the things you planned for us. None can compare with you. Were I to speak and tell of your deeds, they would be too many to declare. Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but my ears you have opened. Burnt offerings and sin offerings you did not require. Then I said, 'Here I am. I have come. It is written about me in the scroll. I desire to do your will, my God. Your law is within my heart. I proclaim your saving acts in the great assembly. I do not seal my lips, Lord, as you know. I do not hide your righteousness in my heart. I speak of your faithfulness and your saving help. I do not conceal your love and your faithfulness from the great assembly. I do not withhold your mercy from me, Lord. May your love and faithfulness always protect me. For troubles without number surround me. My sins have overtaken me and I cannot see. They are more than the hairs of my head, and my heart fails within me. Be pleased to save me, Lord. Come quickly, Lord, to help me. May all who want to take my life be put to shame and confusion. May all who desire my ruin be turned back in disgrace. May those who say to me, 'Aha, aha,' be appalled at their own shame. But may all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. May those who long for your saving help always say, 'The Lord is great.' But as for me, I am poor and needy. May the Lord think of me. You are my help and my deliverer. You are my God. Do not delay. Church, why do we deny the Word of God as a daily part of our lives? It is so significant and it is so powerful to us as believers. We need to put an end to those excuses. So where are you at tonight? What's the Holy Spirit telling you? Have you let excuses get in the way of furthering your relationship with the Lord? Are there some changes you need to make? Wherever you are, I want to help make it a little easier for you guys. When you came in, you should have received one of these. It's a one-year Bible plan. And this is just a great practical way for you to just kickstart it. You can start it now, or you can wait until January 1st to start it so you can actually do it in a literal year. It's just a little easier. But on the back, you can write your name, and you can write the date you started and when you finished it. And you'll read a little bit of the New Testament, a little bit of the Old Testament each day, and it just kind of helps break it up a little bit. And it is so important that we, if you're not already in the Word daily, that you find a way, that you find, whether it's something like this that just helps you just to track along, or it's whatever else that you need to do. But it is so important. And this is just a very practical and easy way for you to do it. If you didn't receive one on the way in, there should be some out there that you can get, or you can come find one of us and we'll help you out. But we need to be in the Word. We really need to be investing in it. Don't put off the Bible. Make it a part of your daily walk with the Lord. It will transform your life.